Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com, and our phone number 847-312-4676. And you can go to our website and get some of these programs here for free. You can play them or download them, put them on your iPod, and hopefully go back and search the scriptures and find out if what we're telling you is true or not. At our website also, we make available some excellent study tools, most importantly the Bible, and we believe that we have the Companion Bible, which is a complete Bible with marginal notes by Bullinger, and also we have a concordant literal New Testament put out by A. Enoch. We're not afraid to name our sources here because we don't hide from whom we learn from, and it's important that we bring these things out. Everybody's learned from somebody, and we're not going to hide that. Now, today I want to talk to you about something that we've never really done before, but I'm going to do it here today, and it's who is Cross and Throne Ministries, and what are we about? And first of all, I want to start with the name Cross and Throne. Now, this is a name that I struggled with for a while. It's very hard to name a ministry, especially when your subject is the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scriptures that speak about him. And but before I start, I want to read a passage, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking in the Gospel of Luke. And he says this, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And Peter the Apostle also said, talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. And so we say here, when we take the name Cross and Throne, because the scriptures speak about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and in the end, God will be all in all. And in the meantime, from the beginning to the end, we have God's redemptive purpose. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. 1 Corinthians 15:20-28, then cometh the end, and he lists all these things, that God might be all in all. The goal of God will be reached through the work and person of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about cross and throne, and a lot of people have a hard time pronouncing it, first of all, let's talk about the word cross. Now, the word cross, it's meant to speak somewhat of his sufferings and his work on the cross. But when we talk about the cross, and again, like I pointed out, we couldn't possibly come up with one name that can cover everything, but we had to have a name for the sake of identifying us. But when we speak about the cross, we're talking about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when people think about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they usually dwell on just the fact that he died for people, but there's more to it than that. The Lord Jesus, his sacrifice, his work was sufficient. In other words, it was sufficient for everything. His death on the cross is not only sufficient for the justification of men and the giving of life to men, but is also the key to a believer's sanctification. So we see that when we talk about cross, we're talking, it's just a general term for the sufficiency of what he has accomplished, not just in the salvation of men, but also in the provision for the believer in everyday living. What the Lord Jesus did on the cross not only saved us, but it gives us the power to walk a life that is pleasing to him. And so we see that the sufficiency of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now also, the Bible talks about his glories. And we have, that's why we picked the word throne, cross and throne. The sufficiency of his work, and then the throne speaks about the glories connected with his person. And all the glories that are connected with his person are because of what he's accomplished in his work. And it's interesting, in the Bible, the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ grow. In other words, we first learn about him in the Old Testament as the Messiah of Israel, the King, who one day is going to destroy, as we read in Daniel 2, those images, those earthly powers, and set up a kingdom which will never be transferred to somebody else. And we see him as a Messiah and a King on earth. And the prophets speak of him as a priest who sits upon his throne. He's a prophet, priest, and a king. And then when we're going to read later in the book of Revelation, not only is he a prophet, priest, and king, but he's also a bridegroom. And we read about the bride, the Lamb's wife, in Revelation 21. And by the way, it does not say the bride of Christ. It's the bride, the Lamb's wife. And we have to be careful with our terminology. He's the bridegroom. John says he's the friend of the bridegroom. In the Gospel of John, he says he is the friend of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom's the Lord Jesus. So he's prophet, priest, and king. And later we read of even higher glories connected with New Jerusalem, and that is him as a bridegroom. And then you come to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we read the Lord Jesus has glory and honor unknown to the prophets in the Old Testament, where he was exalted far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named. And so the Lord Jesus' glories are shining the highest and brightest in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And you're also going to see that in Colossians. And so in the Bible, we read of the glories of Christ and how he is not just the king and the prophet, priest, and king in the earthly sphere. He's also the bridegroom in the New Jerusalem, which will come down after the millennium. And we also read that he is the head of the body, the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we speak of the kingdom, but the most important thing about the kingdom is the king. And we speak of the bride, but the most important feature of the bride is the bridegroom. And we speak about the body of Christ, but the most important feature about the body is the head. And these are various glories of Christ, and they were revealed gradually. And that's why we talk about the Bible, and we use sometimes the term progressive revelation. And I think it's an important thing that we distinguish all these roles that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to play and fulfill in God's great plan of the ages. Now, that is how we got our name and what the name is representing. And that we can go on and talk about many other things. But that would, if we could live as long as Methuselah, we might have time to cover them when we consider every reference in the Scriptures. But one more thing I wanted to point out regarding who we are, and I want to turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to spend the rest of our time with this. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read this. In verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And verse 9 and 10 are in parenthesis, and it picks up in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now let me read that again. Wherefore he saith, when he, Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he, who's the he? The ascended Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now we believe that today there are no more apostles and prophets. 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, he mentions evangelists and he mentions teachers. So there are no longer apostles and prophets. That was the foundation of the church, which is his body. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, with a view to the readjusting of the saints. Now, the word perfecting in the King James is a medical term. And the word perfecting there is a medical term for resetting of a fractured limb. Now, you break an arm and it needs to be reset. And so that's why we translate it here with a view to the readjusting of the saints. Now, what was the dislocation? What was the fracture that took place? God's people, Israel, is now Lo-Ami. In the last book, chapter of the book of Acts, God said the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. God is through with the nation of Israel for the time being. Now, if God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, through them, God is planning to bless all the nations through them. If God sets them aside, will that not change God's dealings with humanity? And the answer is yes. And so, since God's dealings change with mankind, ministry requires readjusting. All the people up until the time of Paul here were being blessed through the nation of Israel. Now God was setting them aside. And so our ministry here, we feel, is a ministry of readjusting. Notice it talks about readjusting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now what is readjusting? It's simply showing people that, and many believers today are so hung up in the Gospels and the Sermon on the Mount, and those are true and wonderful. But what we're here to show you today and in this ministry, that God has revealed something new through the Apostle Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, as we're going to read here in Ephesians. And his ministry is the latest revelation of God, and it's truth for today. And Matthew is true and it's wonderful and it talks about blessings on earth. But friends, what we want to show you in the ministry of Paul is hopefully teach you these things so you can believe them and partake of a better blessing, even a higher hope, partake of a better resurrection through readjustment and shifting your thoughts from an earthly inheritance to being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so our goal is for readjustment. I know many of you out there believe the Bible, but maybe you don't understand or know about the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And I think you need to be readjusted to see these things. Now it also, if you read Ephesians 4, 12 through 15, we have three things. We have adjustment, building, and growth. Now, you can't build unless you're on the right foundation. And if you're trying to live off Israel's promises, you are living in a fool's paradise. And I say that kindly. Thus, we need to readjust. You can't live off of Israel's promises. God has spoken in his latest revelation is to us through the Apostle Paul. And you need to adjust yourself to what he says there. And so, he gave these gifts, which are teachers and pastors, for the readjusting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's upbuilding, building up. And then it says, till we all attain in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a complete mature man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So we have adjustment, building, and growth. Now I want you to notice the work of the adversary with his subtlety and his every wind of doctrine. Remember the adversary, Satan, always stands opposed to what God's present truth is. Every time God speaks his latest revelation, the adversary, Satan, stands opposed to it. And today he stands opposed to you believing what God said to us through Paul the prisoner. And this is God's truth for today, for the believer. Embrace these things. Study very carefully Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians to start with, and see what God's blessing is for you. Blessings with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and one day when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we will appear with him in glory. This is Dan Sheridan. I hope this was just a little introduction unto who we are and why we're here. Our phone number is 847-312-4676. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. And please go there and obtain a copy of the Companion Bible and the Concordant Literal New Testament. And there are other great study tools available from Bullinger, from Charles Welch, and A.E. Nock, and others. We thank you for joining us today.